So anyway, you know, we in the body of Christ are so geared toward a works mentality when it comes to anything related to God. And as I shared with you, you know, the whole concept of the water sprinkler, bear with me as I go back here because it wasn't, something happened, the tape did something weird. You know, the illustration of a water sprinkler, how little kids run through a water sprinkler in the summertime, and as long as you stand where that water is, you're going to get soaking wet by the water. If you move, you don't get wet. And it was like God ministered to me and showed me how that a lot of Christians treat grace that way. They run through it, and then they stand on the outside trying to figure out a way to move the sprinkler so it gets them wet. And God says, you can't do that. You can't manipulate the operation of grace. That's something that comes from me, but you can get into that operation. Well, when it comes to the whole thing of testings and trials and being chastised by God and so forth, we in the body of Christ have been trained to think in terms of bad things, mean chastisement by God. Well, if something bad has happened, God's trying to teach me a lesson in this. Or bad things or semi-bad things happen, and we say, well, you know, God allowed this so that I would grow and understand Him better. And other people come along and say, well, no, you know, God didn't do that to you. Yeah, but He allowed it. I mean, He's God. So if He didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't have happened. Well, yeah, that's true from the perspective of a failed human understanding of God and how He operates. Because when you explain bad things in that way, well, God allowed it to happen, all you're doing is you're saying God's no different than me. He is a human. You say, well, I don't understand what you're saying. Okay. What you're doing is you're saying that God, in His sovereignty, sits back and does nothing because it's His choice to do nothing. It's His choice not to intervene. However, when you understand that God has already intervened, does the Bible not say that the devil's defeated?
Yes.
Okay. Has God then not already intervened?
Yes.
Then what is the problem? The problem is we think God is like us. We don't think God is pure deity holiness. And so we equate bad things with, well, God just allowed that for my benefit. What benefit did you have? And why is it that some people seem to respond in a positive way to situations and other people respond in a negative way? Isn't it like God's rolling the dice, hoping somebody's going to respond in the right way, and then when they don't, what's he like, slap himself in the head and say, boy, did I blow it that time? So what we've been trained to think, it's like stuff happens, and I don't understand why. I can tell you why. There is a devil that hates your guts, and all he wants to do is steal, kill, and destroy. And I would challenge anyone to go through the New Testament and show me in Scripture where God designed bad things to happen in the lives of believers to teach them lessons. Yeah, but Brother Martin, don't you understand? Back there in the Old Testament, no way, I did not say the Old Testament, now did I? I said the New Testament. What we do is we go back to the Old Testament to a people with a sin nature, and God had to relate to them through a sin nature. There had to be He had to relate to them from the outside as opposed to the inside. And so what we do is we say, that's how it happened in the Old Testament, so when things happen, God's still doing it that way today. And that's where we completely miss God, and we think He's no better than us. Because that's how we would deal with people. Because we can only deal with people on the outside, not on the inside. That's why we have court systems and we put people in jail and all this kind of stuff. We're dealing with them on the outside. And so we bring God down from heaven and say, that's how He's dealing with me. And the thing is, when you do that, you have no idea what God's grace is all about. And you have no idea how God operates. You have no idea how God ministers to people. You are born again. You are not an Old Testament saint. You are a New Testament saint. The blood of Jesus Christ has not just worked in the area of your acts of sin, but your sin nature has been removed. What the Old Testament people had, you don't have. And until you get it through your mind that God operates differently in the New Testament than what He did in the Old Testament, then you're going to miss how God's grace begins to operate in the lives of people. You won't even tap into the grace. What you'll do is an Old Testament way of living, meaning you're going to try and perform for God so that God will extend His grace. And God says, why don't you just take the time and read my word and find out, by grace are you saved through faith? Meaning the grace has already been released. You can't get me in a good enough mood to release what I chose to release. If I hadn't released my grace, Jesus would never have been born. And so here's God, He's up in heaven, and He's saying, look, I've released this already. The problem with you as believers is you keep listening to preachers that put you under the law and you don't even know it. And they tell you, well, maybe you've got sin in your life and that's why God's doing these things to you. Where do we see that in the Word? See, the deeper I go into this walk with God and understanding who I am in Christ, the more I can see how that we have been brainwashed by demonic teachings coming from really nice people. But listen, anybody who stands up in a pulpit, I don't care how nice they are, I don't care how sweet they are, I don't care how loving they are, if they stand up and they start teaching you that bad things are happening in your life because God's trying to do something and correct something and teach you something, you've got to understand they are preaching to you a theology and a doctrine that has come straight from Satan himself. Now, we don't like to hear that because there are so many people and preachers that we love and we really like. Hey, God loves them and likes them too, see? But He's not authoring the doctrine that they're teaching because it's taking you away from grace and putting you back under a works relationship. And God said, you can't live that way. Not as a Christian. It's impossible to live that way. You say, Brother Martin, I don't know if I agree with you. Doesn't the Bible say that without faith, it's impossible to please God? In the Old Testament, they operated by faith to a certain extent. But it was faith as best as they could conjure up out of a sin nature. They still had to depend upon their works. Why else did God give the law? You see what I'm saying? To expose their sin nature. And the works were associated with that. So here we are in the body of Christ. The more that we depend upon works, the more we are stepping out of grace. And this is where you find people that get messed up in the area of performance. You know, well, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't know what I need to change to get God to heal me. That's like saying Jesus. That's like slapping Jesus in the face. I mean, does the Bible not say by His stripes you were healed? Doesn't the Bible say that? Then where do you find in Scripture that as a Christian, you've got to do something to cause God to want to heal you? Or to deliver you? Or to set you free? Or to do anything for you? Where in Scripture do you find that it is a cause and effect thing, meaning your works, His response, and that He's sitting in heaven saying, well, when you do this, then I'll feel like doing that for you. Where do you find that? You don't. And that's where we mess up. Everything about our relationship with God is spiritual because now, it's like Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it's all spiritual because now we have a spirit that has the capacity to be taught by the Holy Spirit. We now have a spirit that is equal, non-deified, but equal to the nature, the life of God Himself. Well, if we don't grasp this, then we're never going to come to the full knowledge of God because we're going to keep knocking on a works door that's been closed for over 2,000 years. And God's saying, wait a minute, the grace door is open. Why don't you come in and fellowship with me and get to know me? They knew me through works, the works of the law. But they did not know me through grace the way you get to know me. Because they didn't have a nature that could be a recipient of the power of my grace. And so now everything has changed for you. This is a challenge for us in the body of Christ. Because there are so many, I don't know what kind of percentages to say, but I would say the vast, out of all the churches that stand up and tell you that you must be born again, I'm guessing, let's just get really wild and crazy here. 90%? I don't know. Maybe it's 50%. But I have doubts about that. But the vast majority of them, the highest percentage, are teaching a works relationship with God, but yet they turn right around and talk about faith. You can't tie faith and works together. Oh, yes, you can, Brother Martin. Faith without works is dead. Well, we'll get into that when we teach about faith. That's not what that's talking about. That's where people are missing God. They're saying, well, I got to prove to God that I've got faith, so I have to do this over here. And God's saying, no, you've misinterpreted my word, and the reason you've misinterpreted it is because somebody taught you to. Well, when it comes to grace, we need to understand that grace is not a feel-good emotion that comes from God. Grace is a power that's been released from Him. And if we tap into that, we're going to go deeper into God than we ever have before. Now, on the next page in your outline, if you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2, remember how we read that in 2 Peter chapter 3, in fact, we'll look at that just briefly for a moment to lay a foundation. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it says in verse 18, you know, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory for both now and forever. And we learned how that could have been stated at the beginning part of verse 18, but grow in grace and you will grow in the knowledge. In other words, if you grow in grace, you can't help but grow in the knowledge of God. It's impossible. You know, if put it like this. If you swallow food, it goes to your stomach, right? That's just the way it works. You grow in grace, you're going to grow in the knowledge of God. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, actually, 1 Peter, I'm sorry. The first one was from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, what I just quoted from. Hey, it's in your outline. It's right in there. 1 Peter now, chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Excuse me, the word sincere means without guile, fraud, or deceit. The sincere milk of the Word. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. And the word milk, it's used metaphorically in reference to the rudiments of Christianity, the spiritual elements of Christian instruction originating from the Word of God. Now here's a symbolism. A newborn baby receives milk as he nurses from his mother. The milk he receives will be pure and perfectly suited for him. Now I know people can say, yeah, but what if the mom did drugs? And what if the mom... All things being equal and correct. Okay? The milk he receives will be pure and perfectly suited for him. And as far as we're concerned, God will feed us milk that is perfectly suited for us. But this implies a willingness on our part to be fed. Where it says here, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. So you have to come to the place of desiring this to take place in your life. Now, where it says this word sincere, without guile, fraud, or deceit, you see, well, how are you going to get that? Because there's not one church that stands up and says, by the way, folks, we are preaching the Word of God with guile and deceit. Nobody says that. Everybody stands up and says, we're preaching truth, bless God. Well, how are you going to know? Well, we have gone over this so much. You know by virtue of your time spent in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because He leads and guides you into all truth. And once again, if you do not pray in tongues, you are not giving the Holy Spirit the ample opportunity to minister truth to you. And I know, folks, that there are people out there who would give you all kinds of flack for making such a statement. But when you consider how much wrong stuff is being taught out there, and how many people are not praying in tongues. I'm talking ministers now, who aren't praying in tongues, either because they don't believe in it, or they don't think that they need to, even though they could. And you see all this stuff that's being taught to people. And you yourself know, just since you've enrolled in this Bible college, you've come in contact with Christians. And you know, you get into these discussions with them, and they're saying things that, like maybe you used to believe, but now you understand, you know, things aren't what they appeared to be. And you try to convince them, and it's like talking to a wall. They'll have nothing to do with it. They don't want to receive it. Why not? They believe they're right. They believe they're walking in truth. But why don't they want to receive it? Well, instead of hammering them with, don't you understand how stupid you are for being wrong? Instead of coming across like that, if you begin to encourage them to pray in tongues, they say, yeah, well, what if they don't even believe in that? Well, there's nothing really you can do. Can you see the problem in this? If you do not spend time praying in the Spirit, why in the world do you think the Holy Spirit is going to be able to teach you? Just go back and take a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and see what Paul is trying to get across to us in the body of Christ. You do not soak up truth through osmosis. Just because you are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, just because you go to church and you say, oh, I sense, you know, the Spirit of God was in this place. Just because that you have the life of God in you, you do not just automatically absorb truth. And it doesn't come strictly from reading the Bible. You know that. Because so many of us have read the Bible. And we believe things wrong. Partly because of who we were depending upon to be our teacher. Well, when it comes to desiring the sincere milk of the Word, the only way that you're going to know whether it's sincere is if God's confirming it to you, whether or not it's sincere. And I have to tell you, folks, from my perspective as a pastor, there are times I just have to bite my tongue when I get around other pastors, because I can tell it wouldn't matter what I said. They're not going to receive it. And what's even worse is when some pastors have listened to me, and I come across their path a period of time later, and nothing has changed. And I have told them, pray in tongues. I have told them, let the Holy Spirit minister to you. I have told them, you know, well, since you asked, then this passage, and it means, and it's such and such, you know, pray in tongues. Let the Holy Spirit confirm it to you. And nothing's changed. I know what's not been happening in their lives. And that's tough, because when you're talking about people that are very nice, you know, the nicest people in the world, pastors and Sunday school teachers and all this, and yet they don't have a clue, you know, how long do we put up with this? Now, how long do we continue to submit ourselves to pastors and to teachers who just flat out aren't going to do it? How long do we continue to sit under the teaching that so much of it's right, but when they keep delivering stuff that just does not line up with the Word of God, how long are you going to continue to choose to sit under that? And again, this is the kind of thing a lot of folks don't like. But Peter is saying, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, if Peter were standing here today teaching you, what's he going to do? Tell you to go someplace where they're not going to teach you the sincere milk of the Word? They're not going to preach it to you that way? They're not going to give you truth? Is that what Peter would say? Is that what Paul would say? Would Paul say, stay under the ministry of people that do not give you the sincere milk of the Word? Is that what they would encourage you to do? Absolutely not. They're going to encourage you to get into a place where the Word of God is taught, and you can receive that kind of spiritual nourishment. What makes us think that we're going to benefit from what he's describing here in 1 Peter chapter 2? What makes us think that we're going to benefit from this if we're not receiving what he's talking about? And again, how can I say this and be nice? There was a prophecy that came forth recently here in this church. It was about 10 minutes long. And I'm just going to summarize parts of it. And if this upsets people, I'm sorry. The intent is not to upset. But you better get your act together to whoever this applies. I mean, this was the essence of the message. You better get your act together and make a decision. Are you going to stay in a church where it's wrong, where the stuff is not being taught the way it should, just because your family likes to go there, just because they have good kids programs, just because you've gone there for so many years, just because you like the pastor and the other? Are you going to continue to put up with this? Because and I forget the wording in the prophecy, but I'll use this term because I don't remember the exact term. There's a civil war that is arising now in the body of Christ, and you better be prepared for it. And it is going to get very nasty and very ugly. And it's exactly what was prophesied in Scripture. How that people are going to, the itching ears, and they're going to turn from truth. They're not going to go after devils. But they're not going to embrace truth. And God, to be honest, you guys that are here in this school, you're going to come to a place where God, if you're not already there, God is going to, symbolically now, He's going to put His finger right between your eyes and He's going to say, what are you going to do? You're not where you're supposed to be. Get out and get where I'm telling you. Because in this prophecy, it came forth that God is going to be emptying churches. He's going to be taking people out of churches where the truth is not being taught. And don't you think that just because you pray in tongues and you believe and you teach truth that you're going to change that church? You're not going to do it. The change only comes from the top down, not from the bottom up. And the time is coming where if you embrace the stuff that you've been embracing, and again, I know this may not apply to every person. I really understand that. God's moving forward, whether we go with Him or not. Those of us who want to, will go forward with Him. And when it comes to what He's doing in these last days, you're going to start hearing of churches having problems and people leaving churches, and pastors are going to be getting upset, and name-calling is going to take place. But God says that He's raising people up in these last days for the move that is going to sweep across this world, and not every Christian, not every Spirit-filled Christian is going to be a part of it. Because there are some people that are going to be so stubborn, they're going to hang behind and stay where they shouldn't be. And there are those of you in here, I know this, just by the Spirit, I know this. There are some of you in here, you're going to have to make some hard choices. And again, I'm not saying this to upset anybody. I'm just saying, you know, you've got to make a decision. What are you going to do? Are you going to let your pride and your own ideologic self-sufficiency hinder you from where you're going? Or are you going to go forward with God? Are you going to do what He tells you to do? And this is where you've got to get alone with Him, and where you've got to listen to Him, and you've got to receive direction from Him. Not me, and not any other preacher. You've got to spend time with Him and hear His voice and let Him tell you what to do and do it. Remember in the Bible it talks about you're going to hear a voice behind you saying this is the way, you know, walk ye in it. You know, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. Go this direction. In Scripture, Jesus made the statement how that unless I'm first place in your life, you can't be my disciple. You cannot be my... And the disciple simply means disciplined follower. You can't be that way unless I'm first place. And he says some very hard things. How, you know, you hate your mother, hate your family and all this, and, you know, hate your own life. Well, he wasn't saying hate like we know hate, like we would think in terms of hate. What he's saying is, I've got to be number one. You've got to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? You're going to serve things, your life, your family? You're going to serve your church and your pastor? Or are you going to serve me? And this is, it's not a pleasant thing. Because anytime you stand up at a church and begin to say things like this, there are some people that begin to sense on the inside a little something. And they don't like the feeling that they're sensing. I'm telling you what that feeling is. God is trying to deal with you about some stuff. See, if you're truly in the will of God, you don't sense that kind of thing. But when you sense that, it's God dealing with you, saying, listen to this. You better listen to this. God never said that following Him was always going to be easy. But He said, you better do it. And one of the things that really is frustrating to me is when I get around Christians that really are so stuck in their own traditions that they are not hearing God. It's almost like they have no desire to. You know, you know how it is, guys. We can all say the right things. We all know what words to say. We all know. I mean, when it says lift your hands, we all know how to lift our hands. Okay. We all know what to do. We all know the religious games to play. But when it comes right down to honestly wanting the truth of God's perfect will fulfilled in our lives, it's like Peter said right here in this passage. You've got to desire the sincere milk of the Word. You have to. This is not. If you're going to go with God, this is what you have to do. There's no choice. There's no option in this. And if you look over in Acts chapter 20, you know, know, it's almost like we have this idea that God has established a program whereby He gives His blessings on variations of the truth. It's almost like we've developed a theology that says, well, you know, as long as they preach Jesus, that's really all that matters. Well, preaching Jesus will help people come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, but from God's perspective, that is not all that matters. Because if that's all that matters, that's all He would have put in His Word. But there's a whole lot more here than just preaching, you must be born again. And we have, what we've actually done is we've come to the place in the body of Christ where we are willing to make concessions if people don't believe truth or walk in truth. Well, you know, they really don't believe healing, you know, the way it is in the Bible, but they're good people. Well, what are we saying there? That we, God has told us to tolerate wrong teaching? That God has saying, look, you know, it's okay, don't worry about that. You just go ahead and, I mean, forget it. If it does, I mean, if it doesn't line up with my word, that's okay. They're preaching Jesus and they're good people. And that's all that matters. Well, in the body of Christ, that's almost where we've come to. And you've got people out there that say, well, I've always been a blank, and you know, fill in the blank with whatever denominational title you want. Well, that's what I've always been. That's all that's you know, all I know. And well, what does God know? Please believe me, God does not know your denomination. God only knows truth. Now, whatever part of truth your denomination embraces, God knows that. But God does not know your denomination. He knows truth. That's all He's going to stand behind. And maybe your church isn't a part of a denomination. Well, that's okay. But God is only going to stand behind truth. He's not going to stand behind anything that doesn't line up with His truth. In Acts 2:32, it says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, he says, first off, I commend you to God. He didn't. Now, this is Paul writing this, or saying this. Paul didn't say, I commend you to me. And he didn't say, I commend you to Titus, and I commend you to Timothy, or I commend you to this one, or I commend you to that one. Paul said, I commend you to God. I commend you to God. So, what does that mean for us today? I stand up here and I say to you, I commend you to God. Go to Him. Not what you're hearing in this class today. Not what you've heard in any of the classes in the past. Not what you're going to hear in the classes in the future. I commend you to God. Now, if you don't do this, see, if you don't do the first part of this, I commend you to God. If you don't do the first part of that, what makes you think that you're going to be able to do the next part and to the word of His grace? Because if you're not feeding from God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and through those who are feeding through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, if you're not doing it first to God, then how do you know that you're getting the word of His grace? Okay? You might be getting the word of a doctrine or a tradition, but how do you know you're getting the word of His grace? And He says that the word of His grace is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. And if you take a look at the term build you up, it means to build upon, to erect a superstructure, to erect, used metaphorically, the increase in one's spiritual size. The image is of like a weightlifter, so to speak, lifting weights, muscular. In other words, you get bigger, all right? And He's saying, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Well, if you're avoiding God and what God wants for you, then how do you know that you're receiving the word of His grace? And if you're not receiving the word of of His grace, how can you be built up? Are you following the logic in this? It can't happen. So if you esteem, I mean, I've actually heard people say things like, well, I know that they don't teach it this way, and I know that they don't teach it that way, but boy, you know, I just believe that's where God wants me. I want to shake people like that. You know, you tell me how you got that divine revelation. You tell, what, did you have a visitation in the night from maybe, I don't know, like an angel of light that told you, this is where you are to be. Where do you get this? See, it's beyond me how anybody can justify saying, God put me in a church. I'm not the pastor, and I'm not this, and I'm not that, but He put me in that church because I'm going to make a change. No, you're not. You are not going to make a change. Change will happen if leadership responds to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But you, personally, as a human, born-again, Spirit-filled individual, you are not going to make the change. A change only happens if they respond to what God wants to do in their life. That's the only time change is going to happen. Well, he says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. It's going to build you up. And give means to bestow upon in accordance with the good will of the one doing the bestowing. Meaning, God's made a decision. I, God, am going to give something to you. And then it says to build you up, give you an inheritance. To paraphrase that, we could say to cause you to advance toward and bear the fruit of full maturity and to reveal unto you the fullness of your inheritance in Christ and cause to manifest in your life the entirety of your inheritance. It all starts with God, then the word of His grace, then the rest of that begins to happen. So if you're not doing number, hey, you know, just going to church is not being commended to God. You understand that? Like, sinners can go to church, but it doesn't mean they have any kind of relationship with God. How many of you went to church for years and you weren't even born again? See what I'm saying? Just going to church isn't, that's not it. I commend you to the Creator of the universe. I commend you to God. And right now, I commend you to a break. So go ahead and take 10 minutes, come back.